Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph. Maseches Bavli Kama daf Yud Aleph. We left off on daf Yud Amud Beis. There's something I've been wanting to share. I've been holding on for a few days. Someone sent me a piece of a sefer that quotes a drasha from the Chasam Sofer. Someone sent it to me in an email. I immediately forwarded it to a number of other Magide Shir, Daf Yomi Magide Shir. So an unbelievable Chasam Sofer, just to share it very quickly. He writes, B'chasam Sofer B'drashos Kasav Leva'er Shem Chas V'Shalom Nigzeru Gzeros Me'ashamayim Shal Nazikin U'Puranos Ala Adam. If God forbid there are Gzeros from heaven of damages and difficult times on a person, U'Nazikin E'elu Tzrichim Lotzeis L'Poel Al Pi Chukasam, and these Nazikin are coming out and actually being realized. Mikal Makom Al Yudei Limud Zeh Shanu Lomdim Sidrei Hilchos Nazikin Bazanu Yotzim Yidei Chavaseinu. The way for a person to get out of it, and the way for a person to respond to piranhas, to suffering in their personal lives, is for the individual to learn Seder Nazikin. Umimela ba Yeshua la Adam liolam kulo. And that's going to cause a Yeshua to come to the person and to the world overall. Vusha karav ramzul ze chazal hakadoshim ba masha amru Yeshuos ze Seder Nazikin. And that's what Chazal referred to when they said the word Yeshuos refers to Seder Nazikin. Vahainu meaning shekadei lahagia Yeshua. If a person is suffering through a difficult time, in order to achieve Yeshua, Yilmud Seder Nezikin. He should learn Seder Nezikin. So he points out that in order to be saved from Kol Tzara V'Tzuka, for Klal Yisrael, he's talking about an individual, but L'chora, the same is true for Klal Yisrael, that if an individual is suffering from Pranas, the individual should learn Seder Nezikin. So it's a quality Daf Yomi coincidence that when Klal Yisrael has severe Pranas, and when Klal Yisrael has times of Nezek and difficulty and Tsar, that Klal Yisrael as a whole started learning Seder Nezikin just over a week ago, so the zechus of the learning of Seder Nezikin should serve to protect Klal Yisrael in all different parts of the world where Klal Yisrael is under attack. Okay, let's pick up. We left off five lines from the bottom on Daf Yud Amud Beis. Amar Rav Kana L'Rav, El Taima D'Kasav Rachmana V'Amesia Lo. Halav Hachi, meaning we left off discussing three different sources for the idea that the Nizik keeps his animal. That when you damage the other guy's animal, you kill the other guy's animal, so the live animal is worth $200, the dead animal is worth $50. So what do you do? Do you pay $200 when you kill the animal and you get to keep, the Mazik gets to keep the Nevela? Or do you let the Nizik keep the Nevela? That's $50. And then the other $150 you pay. So we have three different psukim that all supported the idea that the Nizik keeps his dead animal and you only pay the difference between the value of the live animal and the dead animal. So says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Kana Rav, Ela Taima D'Kasav Rachmana V'Amesia Lo. The only reason that we say the Nizik keeps the animal is because the Pasuk specifies V'Amesia Lo. Halav Hachi, but had we not had the Pasuk to tell me that, Hava Mina Nevela D'Mazik Havia. Apparently the assumption would have been that the Mazik keeps the animal and he has to write out a check for the full amount. But frak the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. Hashta I isli l'didei kama trefos yahivlei, damar mar yashiv l'rabu shavu kesva filu subin, didei mi bayi. I mean, let's say the Mazik paid with Nevelos. Let's say he just had a lot of dead animals on his hand. So the Mazik wanted to pay the Nizik by giving him $200 worth of Nevelos. He's allowed to do that. Because we learn from the Pasuk that you're allowed to pay back a filu subin. You could pay back with whatever you want. Even the least valuable item, you're allowed to pay back with. All metaltalin is considered metav. You can use whatever you want to pay back. So is there a havamina to assume that if the Mazik wants to tell the Nizik, keep the animal and I'll pay you the difference, that there should be a problem with that? Why should there be a problem? Even if the Mazik wanted to pay back with only Nevelos, he's allowed to pay back with Nevelos. So even if Enochinami, the Mazik gets the animal and now he's got to pay back the full amount, let him use the animal as part of the payment. What's the chiddush? So says the Gemara, L'mitzvacha l'pchas Nevela. No, the chiddush is, what if the animal devalues from the time that the damage happens, from the time that it gets killed to the time that you're actually paying, that there's a mad bedin and one is actually paying for the damage is done, meaning at the time that the animal got killed, right after its death, it was worth $50. And then when it comes time to actually pay, it's only worth $25. So how much does the mad Isaac have to pay? Does he have to pay 150 or does he have to pay 175? So without the pasuk, I would have said that the animal belongs to the mazik. So the fact that it's devalued, that's in the mazik's rishus, and therefore when the mazik pays back, he can only count the animal for $25 worth, and he'll have to pay back the other 175. Kamash Malan comes to the pasuk and tells me no, that the mace belongs to the nizik, and therefore the mazik is not considered to have done $200 worth of damage. He's only considered to have done $150 worth of damage. As soon as the damage was done, the animal is worth $50. It belonged to the nizik at that point, so that gets deducted immediately from the payment that the mazik is going to have to make. Good, so says the Gemara, Lema Pchas Nevela Tanayihi. However, let's suggest that this idea of Pchas Nevela, of who takes the hit when the Nevela loses value, is in fact a Machlogas Tanayim. Detanya, we have a Brisa, Tashin's a Pasuk. Pasuk says in Tarof Yitaref Yaviehu Aid. So the Brisa Darshins Yavi Aidim Shenitrfa Baonesu Pater. That if you have a Shomer Sachar who's watching over an animal and the animal gets killed, so the Shomer Sachar just brings Aidim that the animal was Nitraf, was ripped apart for Ones, that it was an Ones, and the Shomer Sachar is Pater for the Ones. Shomer Sachar is Pater on Onsim. Abishal Omer Yavi Aduda LeBeisdin. Abishal says no. Bring the aduda to Beis Din. What's an aduda? So Rashi says aduda means nevela. Let him bring the nevela to Beis Din. Why is he bringing the nevela to Beis Din? So look at Rashi, the Beis Din. Lashuma, in order to evaluate it. Kami hi shava, to see how much it's worth. Vachi mash makra, yaviu aid, yavi ha aduda. Aid is from a lashon of aduda, of a nevela. And he quotes a pasuk with a targum that aid refers to aduda, to a nevela. So you bring the nevela to Beis Din in order to evaluate it. What exactly does that mean? What are they arguing about? Tanakamu says that he just brings Adim that it was an onus and he's pater. And Abishol says no, you got to bring the nevela so we can see how much it's worth. What's the machlokas about? So my lav bahakamifli, isn't this the machlokas? Demarsav pchas nevela denizikavi and marsav demazikavi, isn't the machlokas whether the pchas Nevela is a hit that the Nizik takes or it's a hit that the Mazik takes? So Rashi explains, how does that relate to this Machlokas? Where do we see that they're arguing about the Pchas Nevela? So if you look at Rashi, second skinny line, meaning the Tanakhama says, if you bring Aiden that there was known as the Shomer Sachar's Pater, Abishol, there's no way Abishol is arguing on that, because the fact that a Shomer Sachar is part of Ba'onsim is a Davar Pashut. That there's no way that there's a machlokas about. So the Ba'onsim avade lo polig Abishol, the meimer dafilu nitra ba'onis ye chayiv. There's no way Abishol is going to say that if it was nitra ba'onis, you're going to be chayiv. Dein Shomer Sachar chayiv ba'onsim, because the Shomer Sachar is not chayiv in onsim. El hachi kamer, this is what he means to say. Im nitrufa bipshia, shiyehe bar tashlumin, when it's known as a nechinami, bring Aiden that there is known as your pater. What if you were negligent though, and you really are going to have to pay? Your Shomer Sachar is going to have to pay for the damages. So Yavi Aduda v'Yosef Mibeso al Adamim Shehishava Bishas Misa. Bring the Nevela so we can evaluate how much the Nevela must have been worth at the time that it died. And if we know how much it was worth at the time that it died, we can then say, okay, now you pay the rest. You pay the difference. Dimishum Dam Dahashta Loitzrich Dahashta Yisle Nevela Sachanaisa Yav Le Kolshkein Ha El Pchas Nevela Asa. Pasuk can't be coming to teach me that if the nevela is worth $25 now, that you pay the other $175, because that's pashut. Because even if you want to pay back with only nevelos, that a total value of $200, you can pay back with only nevelos. So it's that can't be what the pasuk is teaching me. It must be teaching me you bring the nevela to Beis Din not so we could find out how much it's worth now, but to find out how much it was worth at the time of the nezek. So and then you'll only have to pay the difference from there. So even though it's worth $25 now, if we're able to evaluate that it was worth $50 at the time of the Nezek, so then you're only going to have to pay $150. That's Abishol's opinion. V'tanakama d'lo mapik le'lahach drasha, Tanakama, who doesn't use the pasuk to teach me this drasha, must hold savar p'chas nevela d'mazikavi, must hold that the loss of the value in the nevela is a loss that the mazik has to take. Hilkach lo matzi luk me'lekra lahach drasha. That's why he doesn't use the pasuk for this drasha. Dimishum dam dahashta lo it's because to know the value of the animal right now, you don't need to tell me that you can use the value of the animal right now to pay back the damages, because you can use whatever you want to pay back the damages. So it must be that the Tanna Kamma doesn't hold of this idea that the Nizik is the one that takes the hit on the loss of value of the Nevela over time. It's the Mazik who takes the hit, whereas Abishol says, no, it's the Nizik who takes the hit. So you see, that issue of Pachas Nevela is exactly the Machlokas Abishol and Tanna Kamma. Now, the idea of Aduda, Tosus has a different gear. It says, Yavi Arura LeBezdin, that it's not Aduda, it's a more common word that's more familiar to most of us, Arura, the cursed one. Now, why is it cursed? Pirusha Mesa Blo Bracha. So I found that interesting, that since it died without a bracha, it's a nevela. So it died without a bracha. Well, who dies with a bracha? When you shecht an animal. A bracha and shechita. So since it died without the benefit of a bracha and shechita, where at least its death was al kiddush Hashem, so to speak, its death was with the Shem Hashem to do a mitzvah, so that would be a bracha, the opposite of bracha, or the lack of bracha, apparently we refer to as arur. So an animal that doesn't have the benefit of dying with a bracha is considered an arura. Anyway, so says the Gemara, so isn't that the machlokas? The Gemara says, no, that's not the machlokas at all. Dukuli alma de nizik, everyone holds that the nizik takes the loss on the pachas nevela. Vahacha b'toreach nevela kamifli. Over here, we're not talking about the devaluation of the nevela. We're talking about the bother of dealing with the nevela and of taking care of it. Vatanya, and we have a brisa that says that it's the nizik havi, because acher mormi minayin shal balabor lahalo shor miboro. How do I know that it's the balabor, the owner of the bor's responsibility to take the shor out of the bor? Tamalomer kesef yashav the balav ames. So the pasuk says kesef yashav the balav, meaning so you see that even the mace vehames, meaning not only do you return the kesef to the bailam, you return the mace to the bailam as well. So you see that that even the mace, the mazik has to return not only the money, but he has to return the actual nevela to the bailam as well. So the toreach, so the brisa actually is the idea that it's the mazik, the toreach of dealing with the shor and getting it back to the nizik is on the mazik to do. Amle Abaye L'Rava, Hai Toreach Nevela Hechidami. What do we mean by Toreach Nevela? What exactly is entailed? Ilem et bebira shavya zuzava aguda shavya arba ki tarach b'denafshei tarach. If you want to tell me that when it's in the bar, it's worth only one zuz, but if you're able to pull it out of the bar, so an animal, if I sell you an animal, I say, it's in the bar, but I'm selling it to you, it's in such and such a bar, and you know where to find it, you're only going to pay me one zuz for the animal, because then you're going to have to go and, first of all, hope it's still alive at the bottom of the bar, but then also go through the difficult task of pulling an ox out of a bar. And that's not always so easy. So that's only worth one zuz. Once it's out of the bar, it's worth four zuz, because now it's just a regular animal. So now it's going to be worth four zuz. So you're going to tell me a chiddush that the mazik has to deal with it? Of course, when the mazik pulls it out of the bar, the mazik is saving himself money, because the mazik pays the difference between the value of the animal and he pays the difference between the value of the animal and the hezek that was done, and the value of the animal was worth at the before the hezek. So of course it's going to be worth something to the mazik to pull it out of the bar. He's just making money by pulling it out of the bar. So because now it's good when he gives it back to the nizik, it's like paying him back $4 instead of paying him back $1. No, the point over here is, even if it's worth the same outside the bar as it was in the bar, still it's Mazik's responsibility to take it out. So, does there exist such a thing, that it's worth the same outside of the bar that it is inside the bar? So, that, you know what people say, a beam in the city is worth a zuz, and a beam in the middle of the desert is also worth a zuz. Okay, I guess people say that, meaning the point is that sometimes you have things that are worth a certain value, wherever they are, they're always worth that value. Fine, period. Amar Shmuel. Ein sham in lo lagana v'lo lagazan el nizakin. We don't do these sorts of evaluations for a ganav or a gazan. If someone steals an animal or steals kalim and then they devalue in his possession, you don't figure out how much the nevela was worth and give back the nevela to the original owner and then pay back the difference. No, when you steal something, you need to pay back something the full amount. So if I steal a healthy animal animal, I need to pay back a healthy animal or pay for the value of a healthy animal. When it comes to stealing, I can't just give you back a dead animal and say, okay, that's $25, and then give you back the rest in cash. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work for a ganav or a gazlan. Elul nizakin, it only works that way when it comes to nezek, when it comes to damages. V'ani omer af l'shoel. Then Shmuel says, and I say, even for a shoel. And who said it before? Right? It's a little strange. Amr Shmuel. Shmuel says, "Ein sham lo l'ganav v'lo l'gazlan." So it sounded like Shmuel was talking, and then he adds in, "Vani omer," and I say, "Af l'shoel," that the same is true about a shoel. "Va'aba modali," and my father agrees to me. So what's going on? So Rashi says that when Shmuel's original statement was made, if you look at Rashi, Amar Shmuel, minog dayanin hu she'ein sham lo l'ganav v'lo l'gazlan. Shmuel's first statement was not his own chiddush. He was saying, you should know, the minog amongst dayanim is that we don't do evaluations for a ganav or a gazlan. As Rashi explains, shem ganav v'gazl behema okelim v'nivchasu etzlo, you steal something and it devalues by you. Ein sham an anavela v'ashvarim l'baylim she'yachzir ganav v'pachas, elishalim behema. You keep the broken animal, the broken kelim, and you pay back the full value. But that's just a quote of what the minog dayanim is. And then Shmuel says, but my opinion is to go even further, that af l'shoel. So the Gemara will explain what the af is. Is the af on the nezikin where you are shaman, or the af on the ganav gazan where you're not shaman? We'll get to that in a second. But that's just in terms of explaining what vani omer is. Tosus, however, has a different gears over here. Tosus quotes Peshultos Dravachai Garsinan, Omar Shmuel Omar Li Abba, that Shmuel's original statement was a quote from his father. He says, my father says that Ein Shamal Lo Ganav Lo Gazan El Nizakin. I've added to that Af L'Shoel, and Abba's Moda to me, and my father is Moda to me. So obviously, the difficulty with that gears is that that when he first says, my father says X, and I add Y, so Abba Moda to me doesn't sound like it should be true. If his father said Ganav Gazlan and Ezekin, so Shmuel added Shoel, sounds like that was Shmuel's Kiddush. That wasn't something his father had said. Unless, say, my father never discussed Shoel. I thought Shoel belonged on the list also, and my father was Moda to me. But that's what those says. Not like Rashi says, he was just quoting the Minhag Dayanim, but he's actually quoting his father. There's a discussion in the Poskim where you're allowed to say that Ani Oser V'Avi Matir, or Avi Matir V'Ani Oser, something like that. Or you're allowed to say, are you allowed to disagree with your father? You're allowed to say, my father holds this is Mutter, I hold it's Aser. Now, according to the Girsa of the Shield, it sounds a little bit like that's what Shmuel's saying originally, until he adds in at the end, V'Avi Modali. If you look in the Taz in your day, some Reish Mem, Sifkat and Gimel, he quotes that which we find that the Tor all over the place argues with his father, meaning he argues with the Rush all the time. That's when the father's not around. When the father's not around, you could argue on the father. But still, he says, it appears to me that if one argues on his father and there's someone else who agrees with the father, and you want to show that the one who argues on your father is correct, lo yask your shema aviv. Don't mention your father as the one who disagrees. El shema ha'acher. Mention whoever takes your father's side. Meaning, mention the name of the other guy, and that way you won't have to directly argue on your father. Kimin sheyuchal lasos derech kavod yaseh. Because if there's a way to do it in a derech kavod, then you should do it in a derech kavod without directly arguing on your father. So Rav Shechter, in one place, and I think in his latest sefer in Ginas Egos, I think it's in Ginas Egos, he quotes a gadol echad who says something, and Rav Shechter goes on to show that the Gadol Echad he thinks is incorrect, and he never identifies the Gadol Echad, but in Shir he said that the reference was to Rav Soloveitchik, but he felt that if he was going to spend the whole essay arguing on him, it wasn't covered to quote directly his Rebbe if he's going to spend the whole piece arguing on the Gadol Echad, on his own Rebbe. So anyway, so you avoid such things. So according to the Girsa of the Shiltos, it sounds a little bit like Shmuel's arguing on his father, because it's unclear if the Shiltos has that Girsa V'Abba Modali at the end. But anyway, also Shmuel's father's name actually was Abba. There's a discussion in the Poskim, if your father's name is Abba, you're allowed to call him Abba. It's an interesting discussion. Chidasa is Aser. Father's name is Abba, call him Tati. Right? Something you have to come up with some other name. You can't call him Abba. Other people can disagree. It's halacha l'maisa, comes up all the time.
Okay. Anyway, vayter in the Gemara. So now Shmuel had said that either the Beis Din or my father or whatever it was said that you don't do a shumah, you don't do an evaluation for a ganav or a gazlin. You do for nezikin and even for a shoel. So what's even for a shoel? Ibayilu hachi kamer af l'shoel shamin va'aba modeli. Is it even for a shoel? We do evaluate, and my father agreed to me. Odom hachi kamer v'ani omer af l'shoel ain shamin va'aba modeli. Or maybe he meant to say that I hold even. A shoel goes on the ain shaman list. It goes on the list of things that you don't evaluate, like the ganav and the gazlan. And my father is molded to me about that. So Tashma, we have a raya. Dehu gavra the shoel nargo mechavre. A guy borrowed an axe from his friend Tavra, and he broke it. Asal kamei the Rav. So he went to Rav Amle zil shalom le nargo me'alias. Rav said, pay him back a full functioning good axe. Shema mina ain shaman. So you see that even though even by a shoel, we say they don't do any evaluations. You pay back just the full amount, and you don't evaluate how much the broken axe is worth and pay back the difference between the broken pieces and the value of a full axe. You just pay back a good functioning axe. So frankly, more adarav midarmi the Rav Kana Ravasi the Rav Dina Hachi v'shasik Shema mina shaman. He says no. To the contrary, from the fact that Rav Kana Ravasi said to Rav, really, is that the din? Is that required that you pay back the full value of the axe? Can't you just pay back the difference? Can't you give the broken pieces and pay back the difference? And Rav was shasik. Rav was quiet. So you see that we are shaman. We see that the real halacha is that you want to be machmir. You want to do an extra nice thing. So fine, pay back the whole value. But the real halacha is that you don't have to do it. The Numukha Yosef says this is an av l'kol hashas, that we this sugya is the a father of all of shas, where we have the idea of shtika koda. That this is a classic example here. We're paskin the halacha. We're bringing a raya la halacha based on a shtika, based on the fact that Rav was shasik. So you see that shtika kehoda. The Tosos Ein Shem Lo Leganav Lo Gazlan. Tosos points out Pirush Kuntrus Ein Shem and Avel of Ashvarim LeBailim Shiaksu Leganav Apchas Eli Yishalim Behem Ashlema VeKelim Ulim VaAshvarim Shalo. That Ein Shem means you don't pay back the broken pieces and then pay the difference. Rather, you pay the entire value. VeAfel Gav DeKaimel On Yashav LeRabbi Shavu Kes VaFilu Subin. Ganav v'gazlan shiny. So Frank tells, wait a second, didn't we say that you're allowed to pay back with whatever metalplin you want? So he says, no, that's when you do a nezek. A ganav and a gazlan can't just pay back with whatever they want. Mishum d'chsiv asher gozal. Because we have a pasuk that says you should pay back asher gozal, that which you stole, and we darshin ke'ein shegozal, which means you have to pay back something similar to what you stole. You stole a functioning kli, you're not allowed to pay back a broken kli plus cash. You have to pay back a functioning kli. Hilchos tzarich lahachzir hagzeila. You either pay back what you stole, odameho, or its value. Velo subin. You can't just get away with paying subin. Why? Why by ganav and gazlan is that the halacha that you can't get away with paying anything and just say, look, it's meitav, it's all metalton. Metalton is all meitav. I'm paying back good stuff. Why does that not work? So a few lines later, Tos says, v'hainu time the ganav and gazlan kanu miyad kishotziyum rishos bailim. The reason is that a ganav and gazlan immediately are kona something when they take it out of the rishos bailim. Avul mazik lo neschayev el kamosha hizik. A mazik is chayev for the hezik that he's done, but he's not kona something when he damages something. V'hainu time the van diyamar af l'shoa. Why would a shoel be in the category of the ganav and gazlan that ain shaman? Because a shoel is chayv and onsim. The fact that you're chayv and onsim indicates that you're the real bailam over it. That when you only a bailam, only the true owner of an item should be chayv and an onus that happens. That should take the loss when an onus happens. An accident happens and something totally uncontrollable happens to your stuff. You're the only one that takes the loss for it. So that's an indication of bailus when you're chayiv ba'onsim. So that's why the shoel gets put into the category of the ganav and gazlan. But that's the fundamental difference. Does it become yours or does it not become yours? So by ganav and gazlan, there are kinyane geneva that make it yours, and therefore you're the one that takes the loss, and you're the one that's going to have to pay the entire thing. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go through a series of quotes from Ula Amar Blazer, the first of which has to do with our sugya. The next six after that are just, once we're quoting Ula Amar Blazer, we'll take a tour through Shas of what Ula Amar Blazer says. So it should be fun. So Itmar, Amar Ula Amar Blazer. So Ula says the name of Blazer. Shaman leganav legazlan, that you do evaluate for a ganav and a gazlan. Rav Papi Amar ain't shaman. Rav Papi says, no, you don't. Vilchasa ain't shaman lo leganav lo legazlan, aval leshoel shaman kadrav ganav ravasi. The halacha is we don't do an evaluation for the ganav or the gazlan to let them pay back the broken shards of whatever that whatever they stole. But for a shoel, we do. And like Rav Kahana and Rav Asi had said to Rav, that isn't the halacha that you're allowed to be shaman, and Rav was shosik, so we follow the Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. Fine, that was number one. Number two, Va'amar Ulam Rav Lazar. Ula says the name of Rav Lazar. Shulya Shiyatsa Mektsasa Biyom Rishon Umektsasa Biyom Sheni. If the Ashilya comes out, which is the English word?
Placenta.
Yeah, the placenta of a behema comes out partially on Yom Rishon and partially on Yom Sheni. So the question is, at what point do you assume that the baby inside the mother was born? Might not mean whether the baby inside the mother was born or not. Let's say you shech the mother. So if you shech the mother and the baby was never born, you're allowed to eat the baby without a shechita. The baby's kosher. If the baby was born and you shech the mother, so once the baby was born already and then you shech the mother, the baby's an avela. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat the baby. So let's say you had the shilia comes out, miksasa b'yom rishon, miksasa b'yom sheni, monon la min arishon. You count from the first day. This is going on a person, right? That you count from the first day, meaning a person when a woman gives birth. So from the time of the Leda, she gives birth to a baby boy, she has 7 days of Tumah and 33 days of Tara. She gives birth to a baby girl, she has 14 days of Tumah and 66 days of Tara. So when do you start counting? You start counting from the first day when part of the Shulia came out. Armeli Rava, my Daitech, the Chumra. Why? You want to be Machmir, so say that counts her as Tameh from the first day, but Chumra Dasi De Kulahu. That's terrible, because that's going to be a Chumra, that's going to lead directly to Akula, to come into Haris Lame Rishon. Because not only are you going to count the Tumah from the earlier time, you're going to count the Tara from the earlier time also. Because it's 14 days of Tumah, on day 15, you're going to assume she could be seeing Dam, and you're going to assume that she's Tar, because her Yimei Tara started. Ella Amar Ravas, Ravas says, no. Lachush Choshesh, you're Choshesh that she's Tameh from day one. But Mimna Lom Mimanya Ella Lashani, you only start actually counting days of Tumah from day two. Maika Mashmalon, so what's the Chiddush? The Ain Mixa Shulya below Vlad. The Chiddush must be that you can never have part of a Shulya that comes out without a Vlad associated, without some of the Vlad inside of the Shulya. Now, why does some of the Vlad matter? So Rashi points out, it's not some of the Vlad that determines a Leda, it's the Rov of the Vlad that determines a Leda. But if you're going to assume that whenever Shilya comes out, a piece of Vlad came out as well, so at least you have a suffix that maybe, or you have reason to be Choshesh, that maybe Rove of the Vlad came out. Maybe it wasn't just some, maybe Rove of the Vlad came out as well. But if there was no such rule that when Shilya comes out, Vlad necessarily came out, then we wouldn't be Machmir, because we would have a Svek. You would say, well, suffix maybe no Vlad came out. And even if some Vlad did come out, maybe it wasn't Rove. So maybe there was no birth here at all. And there wouldn't be any reason to be Machmir, because it would be a Svek Sek. It would be too far-fetched to be Machmir. Now, so that seems to be the Chiddush, that when Shilya comes out, yet we must be assuming some Vlad came out, and that's why it's only one Suffolk, and that's why we're Machmir. Very important Tosov here. Tosov says, wait a second. If we're talking about the Tumah and the Tara of the Isha, so what do I care how many Sveikos there are? The halacha is Safik Tumah Bereshus Yachid is Tamei, Safik Tumah Bereshus Ram is Tahar, and a Safik Tumah Bereshus Yachid is going to be Tamei no matter whether it's one Safik, two Sveikos, ten Sveikos. Safik Tumah Bereshus Yachid, there's no heter of Svek Sveika. Safik Tumah Bereshus Yachid is always going to be Tamei, period. There's no such thing as Svek Sveika by a Safik Tumah. So why is the Gemara assuming that had it been a Svek Sveika, it would be fine? So says Tosfos, it's an unbelievable Yesod. Tells the Nibra Maskel, the ain't the last line, V'yeshlomer, deshmaitin ayri le'inyu la'osra le'bayla. We're talking about her Tumah status, not in regards to whether she's going to be Metame Taros, whether she's allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. We're not talking about that. We're talking about her Tumah status in regards to the Isser for her to be with her husband. And that's a major Yisotos is saying, that the Isser of a Nida le'bayla is not a din in Tumah, it's a din in Isser v'heter. And that's the famous piece Rav Yosef Engel has in Ason D'Oraisa and Klal Chaf Aleph, where he discusses that the Isser of Nida, where he discusses a number of rayas, whether the Isser of Nida Labaila is an Isser of Tumah, or it's an Isser, it's Isser v'heter, which category it fits in. And he quotes the Kuzari. Rav Shachter used to always say that every time he opens up his Kuzari, it opens up to this page, because it's the only page he's ever looked at in the Kuzari. That he quotes the Kuzari, where the Kuzari says that the question that was posed to that by the Melech to the Chacham, to the Chaver, was, I don't understand. You guys don't keep Tumah and Tahara anymore. So why do you still have a din of Nida? Nida is all about Tumah and Tahara. You don't even observe Tumah and Tahara anymore. Why do you have a din of Nida? And the response was, no, the din of Nida is a din of Isra Veheta. It's not a din in Tumah and Tahara. That's a totally different thing. The din of, there are two dinim in Nida. There's Nida Legabe Tumah, and the Isra Labaila is a din in Isra Veheta. And he quotes from the Sefer Aderes Eliyahu of the Gra, very well known Gra, where the Gra in Parsha Shoftim says, Pasuk says, Ki Yipali Mimcha Davar L'Mishpat, Bein Dam L'Dam, Bein Din L'Din, Bein Nega L'Nega. So the Gra writes, Shatorah Nechlekes L'Shisha Chalakim. The Torah could be divided into six parts. Tahar V'Tamei, Aser U'Mutter, Chayiv Zakai. Essentially, there are three basic categories in the Torah, each with two sides to it. There's Tumah, which comes in Tumah or Tahara. There's Iser, which is Iser Veheter, and there's Mamanus, which is Chayiv or Zakai. So he says, that's what the pasuk refers to. Bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega. Bein dam ledam, that's Iser Mutter, kidei letar isha lebaila. Bein din ledin refers to Chayiv Zakai, din imamnus. Nega lenega refers to Tumah and Tahara. So what do you see the Gra holds? That what's the classic prototypical example of Iser Veheter? Dam nida. So apparently we assume that dam nida is not only a din in Tumah and Tahara, but again, like Tosa says, dam nida is a din in Isra Veheter. It's a din in regular Isra, and therefore it doesn't follow, who cares what category it fits in? Well, the Tosa says the nafkamina. Does it follow the rules of Tumah and Tahara? Do you say Savik Tumah Rosh Hashiach Tamei, Savik Tumah Rosh Hashiach is Tahar, or does it follow the laws of Isra Veheter, which in which case you need a Svek Sveka to say Mutter, and a single Safek is going to be Aser, because the Savik Darais Al-Khamra. But anyway, so says the Gemara, back in the Gemara, my Kamashman, what's our big Chiddush? That Amex Shulia below Vlad, that you can't have a partial shilya be born without come out without the vlad. Tanina, we already learned this in regards to a behema. Now we're getting to the behema case. Shilya shiyatsa mktsasa asur ba'achila. If part of the shilya comes out, so it's asur ba'achila. That vlad is going to be asur to eat. Simen vlad be'isha, simen vlad be'behema. Because when a shilya comes out, that's a simen vlad both in a woman and in a behema that a placenta has vlad in it. So says the Gemara, imi masnis. So why do I need our Mishnah to tell me that emitz shilya below vlad? So says the Gemara, no, imi masnis. And had we only had the Mishnah of Amina, diyesh miksa shilya below vlad, ugzera miksasa atukula. I might have thought, if we only had the case of the behema, I might have thought that yes, there is miksa shilya below vlad. You can have part of the placenta come out without a vlad. The only reason we ask for eating the animal is a gezeira, that if we allow miksa shilya, if we allow you to consider the animal to be unborn when miksa shilya came out, you may say the same thing when the entire shilya comes out. And that's definitely wrong, because when the entire placenta comes out, then obviously that was a birth, there was a vlad, and obviously you're not allowed to eat the vlad. Well, why would you think you could eat the vlad? It all came out already. So Rashi says, no, then goes back in. If the whole placenta came out and then it went back in, that animal was born already, and therefore you're not allowed to eat the vlad inside, that's inside the mother when you shech the mother. But I would have had a hava mina, meaning the only reason had I only been told the halacha about the behema's miksas shilya that comes out, that you're not allowed to eat the behema, I would not have known that it's because ein miksas shilya blo vlad. I would have thought it's a gezeira mishum kola shilya. But when it comes to the woman giving birth, there's no reason to make a gezeira. If there's no vlad in that miksah shilya, there's no reason to make a gezeira that you should assume that she's tamei anyway, because I might think that she's not even tamei when the rest of it comes out. Because we know that's not true. The next day, we start counting the days of tumah. When the rest of it does come out, we start counting the days of tumah. So there's no way that one could make that mistake in the first place. Okay, third statement of Ulam Rav Elazar. Vamar Ulam Rav Elazar. B'char shenitraf betoch lamed yom, if a bechor gets ripped apart within 30 days, ain podin aso, you don't do pidyon aben. We're talking about a human being, a baby gets killed within 30 days, there's no pidyon aben. V'chein tani rami barcham, and b'toch shenemar, padot tifteh. Yachla filu nitraf b'toch lamed yom, I might think even if it gets killed within 30 days, tamalomar achilik. That's why we have a pasuk ach, to tell me that it's not so, that it doesn't get it doesn't get a pidyon aben, even if the baby was killed within 30 days. So, Rashi writes, what does nitraf mean? Bechor adam sheneh harag b'toch lamed yom, it's killed. So what Tosfos of here discusses, does that mean if it dies, it's different than if it's neharag? Meaning, is there any chilik between an animal, a human being rather, that gets killed versus a human being that just stam dies? parenthetically, that's the that diuk of the difference between neharag and dying and being niftar is one of the rayas that the Mashiachistim, the Chabad Mashiach guys, bring that the Rebbe can still be the Mashiach. Because the biggest raya against them is Rambam writes Beferish, that the Mashiach can't be killed before he finishes his job. He has to first finish what he did. And he goes through what the job is, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, even if he may have started it, certainly didn't finish it. So the raya is, no, the Rambam says he can't be Neharag. It doesn't say he can't be Niftar. So maybe he was Niftar and he's going to come back. He's not. Okay, whatever. let's go with the diuk in terms of how it applies to our Gemara without saying too much. Okay, B'charsh Nitrav B'toch Lamed Yom says Tosos Pirusha Kuntrus Sheneharag. Rashi says it's Sheneharag. Ubimes Me Atzma Lo Isra Kral Ashmin and Dein Podin. Because if the kid just died on its own without getting killed, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that there's no pidyon aben, because the Ksiv Ubdim Ben Chodesh Tifta. Because the pasuk says you only do pidyon when the baby's 30 days old. Aval nerag itzrich lashminon, but if it gets killed, I need a chiddush in the pasuk to tell me. Because I might have thought, look, this baby could have survived. Someone did something to it and was killed. So therefore, maybe I would assume that that you should go and do a pidyon aben. Which implies that if you know that this baby was going to survive definitively, that you should have to be poda. And Tulsa says, I disagree. Tulsa brings a whole bunch of kashas. We're not going to have time to get into it right now. That it can't be, that there is no such thing, that you don't make an assumption that had the baby lived, then I would do pidyon, meaning, since the baby could have lived, had no one done anything to it, I would do pidyon aben. So at the very end of Tosos, Mufarish Rabbeinu Tam, Shenitrof Hanushinasa Trefa. Nitrof means it became a Trefa. Vahashim Midami Leshapra, Komos Bechor, Sheishal Beis Roshim, and that's why the Gemara compares it to a Bechor that has two heads, where a person that has two heads apparently also is a din of a Trefa. Okay, fine. If you look at the Tosos carefully, it's a Geshmaka Tosos. Fourth statement of Ulam Rablazer. Ram Ulam Rablazer, Behema Gasa Niknas B'Mashicha. You can acquire Behema Gasa by pulling it. Va'tanan B'Mesira. But didn't we learn all you have to do is Mesira? Give over the leash of the animal. So Hudamar Kiyay Tana. Now we're assuming like the following Tana. D'Tani V'Cham Ram Zuvazu B'Mashicha. Rabbi Shimon Omer Zuvazu B'Agba. That the Tanakama says that no, it's B'Mashicha. And Rabbi Shimon says that it's that both a Gasa and a Daka are both a large animal and a small animal you acquire through Agba. How do you acquire a large animal through Agbah? So we, the Gemara had said in Kiddushin, they use Chavilei Zemuros. What do you do with Chavilei Zemuros? Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Either you hold it in front of the animal, Tosos says you hold it in front of the animal, the elephant, and it's elephant food. So the elephant jumps, and that way you were Magbiah the elephant, or you put it under the elephant's feet. You let the elephant step on it, and that way you have done Agbah. Fifth statement of Ulam Rablaz. Ram Ulam Rablaz Rachan Shechalko Mashalei and Shamin, Mashal Benayim Nosei and Ein Shamin. When brothers are dividing the estate, if they're wearing their father's clothing, so you evaluate that too. One of them is wearing an expensive suit, so that counts as part of his Yerusha. But if his children, the grandchildren of the father, are wearing clothing, you don't evaluate that. You're not mevaza the kids by bringing them into Beis Din to evaluate what their clothing is worth and how much they've taken. Amrav Papa Pam Af Masha Alein Ein Shamin. Sometimes even what the children themselves are wearing, you don't evaluate. Mishkachas Abagadol Achi Denichalu Del Shtamin Mile. Because very often they want the oldest brother, the one who represents the family and the one who goes around doing business on behalf of the family, they want him to have a nice suit so that people will respect him and will listen to what he has to say so that the family business will prosper. Sometimes people in certain businesses have a cousin who has to drive a nice car. He has because when he goes to clients, the clients need to see that he's a successful guy. If he doesn't look like a successful guy, they're not going to invest money with him. They're not going to be interested in listening to what he has to say. Right? So that's the idea that that sometimes it's in their best interest that the gadol has a nice suit, and that shouldn't count in the cheshbon of his personal Yerusha. Last statement, Vamarula Amra Blazer, Shomer Shemasul Shomer Pater. If a Shomer gives something to another Shomer, he's Pater. Velomi, as something happens to it, if an onus happens to it, the original Shomer is Pater. Even though I was put in charge of watching it and I punted that responsibility to somebody else. Velomi by Shomer Chinim Shemasul Shomer Sachar Diliyai Lishmiraso, not only if I'm a Shomer Chinim and I gave it to a Shomer Sachar, who Lichora is going to watch it more carefully because he's a Shomer Sachar, Elafilu Shomer Sachar Shemasul Shomer Chinim. Even if a Shomer Sachar gives it to a Shomer Chinim, he's going to dahash to Gruy Gari Lishmiraso, So Nami Patr Shari Masl Ben Das, he's still going to be Patr because at least he gave it to Ben Das. Rava Amar Shomer Shmasl Shomer Chayiv. Rava says no. When you give it to another Shomer, you Chayiv. Lomi Bayi Shomer Sach Shmasl Shomer Chinam Degree Garlish Marasso. And not only am I going to be Chayiv if I gave it to someone who's a lower level Shomer than me. Ela Afilu Shomer Chinam Shmasl Shomer Sach Chayiv. Damle At Mehemnesli Beshua Haylo Mehemli Beshua. Even if I gave it to a higher level of Shomer than myself, I'm still going to be Chayiv because the owner can say I trusted you to take a Shmua to me. I don't trust that other guy to take a Shmua to me, no matter what his level of Shmira is.